human behaviour perspective, our attitudes to food, as well as the issues to do with population growth and economic growth.
We're also joined by Jason Drew, an environmental entrepreneur from South Africa. In a minute, I'll be talking to him about his solution to reducing waste in the food chain. But first, Tim, Africa's the only continent with a greater ability to grow food than the demand from its population. Have you started to see this affecting the continent?
Yeah, absolutely. Africa's working very, very hard to grow its agricultural production. I think the scary thing is, though, although it's got a certain amount of what is sometimes termed spare land, although from an ecological perspective that's arguable, the issues of climate change and the future ability to produce the food that we think it might be able to might be impaired. But certainly in terms of the potential at the moment, given the current climate, there is a huge amount of growth that is possible. And in parts of Africa, that growth is starting to happen.
Well, let's bring in Jason Drew at this point. Jason, what's your solution to the food problem in future?
It's just taking one particular part of the food chain and beginning to close loops. So closing food cycles like we're doing in business to drive sustainability. And what we're doing is really launching what we call the nutrient recycling industry. So we take it for granted today that we should recycle our tin, our plastic, our glass. And what we do is we recycle what are otherwise waste nutrients. So in particular, we take waste from slaughterhouses, our industrial slaughterhouses, and indeed from other waste food sources, and reconvert those into usable proteins using, in particular, two or three different species of fly.
When you say waste that would be slaughterhouse waste, what would happen to the material that you're currently calling waste if you weren't to get your hands on it?
Well, a lot of it goes into landfill. A lot of the blood, I mean, if you slaughter 1 million chickens, which isn't a lot every month, that's 250,000 litres of blood that would otherwise get poured into effectively just dams, lakes of blood. Problem is the haemoglobin then settles out and begins to affect the water table over a period of time. And of course, using the fly to recycle those waste nutrients, we create an entirely natural animal protein. And, you know, that's why flies have for years been eaten, for millions of years, by fish and by chickens. You know, a trout leaping out of a stream is after a fly. A tilapia in the bottom of a pond is looking for fly larvae or mosquito larvae. And so it's a natural food. Larvae is a natural food for chickens and fish. And instead of using the roughly third of our fish that we take from our seas in our industrial agricultural processes, we can just recycle those waste nutrients and convert them back into a good natural animal protein to put back into our farming operations.
So how exactly does this work? Can you talk me through the operation?
In its very simplest form, we have a very large cage full of flies. We've taught the eggs to taught the flies to lay their eggs all in one place. We take those eggs out of those cages and we keep a proportion of those eggs back to put into our breeding stock. And our breeding stock is fed on human-grade food, on milk, milk powder, sugar and yeast and a few other goodies. We then feed the eggs on the waste from the slaughterhouses and the abattoirs. And 1 kilo of eggs will turn into about 380 kilos of larvae or protein if you take away the constraints in nature that would stop that happening. So on a decaying carcass in the bush, different types of flies would land on it, different stages of decomposition, and they'd be eaten by passing birds, or indeed they'd fly off and be eaten by a fish from a stream. So what we're doing is recopying that natural process and closing the loop.
And so, how much energy do you think that you can extract back out that would otherwise go to waste? Can we put some numbers on this, Jason? What sort of difference can your approach make using this, I think, very interesting technique?
Our food conversion ratios depend on the waste source, which is about 2.5 to 1. So if we take 2.5 tons of waste, we end up with about a ton of larvae, which on chemical analysis is, from an amino acid composition perspective, is identical to that of fish meal, plus or minus a few percent. So it has all the growth factors that you need to make your chickens grow, to make your trout grow, to make your salmon grow. So we take 2.5 tons of waste and make about a ton of larvae or protein. And the reason this has become available as a business opportunity is that the price of fish meal has risen substantially over the last 5 to 8 years, from a sort of stable price range of around $600 to about $2,000 today per ton. So every ton of fish meal that we don't have to take from the seas because we replace it with mag meal is a good thing we're doing. And our large-scale factory coming online here in Stellenbosch later this year is targeted to make 100 tons of wet larvae a day, which is about 28.5 tons of dry larvae a day.
So what are the fish currently being fed on? You mentioned fish meal. What is this that you feed them at the moment?
Fish meal is really predominantly pelagic fish that are fished specifically to create an animal protein that can then go to the feeding of monogastric animals. So our fish, our chickens, our pets, and other single-stomached entities who need or have always traditionally naturally had animal protein as part of their diet. So what we're doing is just replacing the unnatural protein, which is fish meal, with a natural protein. You know, we sort of gave up fishing in about 1950 and started catching, because with sonar we just went to catch the fish that were in the seas. And we've been exploiting that natural resource to the point of breaking, and we're all well aware of the issues facing our seas around the world. And
can I just bring in Tim at this point? Because I think, Tim, how does this sort of factor with where you're coming from in terms of growing enough food to supply people? This must be music to your ears.
Absolutely. I've been talking to somebody recently about the same sort of idea, because what we're doing is recycling something into something that's very usable. And the issue around fish meal and collecting fish from the seas in an unsustainable way and turning that into a food for other fish to eat becomes kind of crazy and a real stopping point in the chain of production of fish. So if we can do things like this, it allows us to carry on growing